be thankful for his gratefulness to us. The refrain says, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Has God been faithful to you this morning? Right? Has God been so faithful to us that we're going to, many of us here, or all of us here, I hope, is going to be eating or celebrating with somebody on Thursday, right? Because we're thankful to God for God's blessings to us. And even with all of our ups and downs and our trials in the USA, now in America, and, you know, conflicts and isms and schisms, we have a wonderful country. Right? I mean, there are parts, we know that people are suffering here, and there are places we wish they were not suffering at all. There'll be no suffering in the world, certainly not in this rich country. But if you sometimes just take a trip and go overseas, and not just go on, I don't mean when you go on a vacation and go to the pretty places, right? Because even the countries with the pretty places have their struggles. Because when we go to the pretty places and we go to the, you know, we say, this is wonderful. But if you really go on mission and go overseas, you see things that you do not even believe. And you don't even have to go overseas. You could go right here in Appalachia. You could go to Mississippi. You could go many places right here wherein you could see people suffering from things that we thought were no longer. And we have to be thankful to God. And certainly for those of us who are living on Long Island, this is a pretty upscale. It's got pockets of poverty, but a lot of folks are doing pretty well, relatively, right? And if you're in a relatively good portion of health, and you could find food and clothing and all of that, we're thankful to God, aren't we? Because God has been faithful. But most of all, for us right now, we are still thankful in the U.S. that we could do what? In America, preach the gospel. Come to churches and worship God. Because there are many people who cannot do that. They cannot, they're worshiping God as Christians in secret, in house churches, in undercover, because their very lives are threatened. Threatened. They die. Their people die. They cannot worship the Lord. And so when the songwriter says summer and winter and springtime and harvest, all of it. Isn't that a great song? Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. To his great faithfulness to us and his mercy and love. Now, friends, did that start with the songwriter? No. Did not start with the songwriter, but the last verse says, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, mine own dear present to cheer and to guide, strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. So who would pardon the sin? God thought of everything for us. Right? God thought of everything for us. Because this plan of God to bring Jesus into the world was a plan that was put in place for many years. In our Bible, in the Old Testament, there's a period we call 400 years of silence. The 400 years of silence. You see, the prophets had spoken. They had heard and they had prophesied that a Messiah would come. Messiah means a savior. One who would come to save the people from captivity. Physical captivity, they believed. Would come and save them. And they had waited. They had been disobedient and things had happened. We see the prophets from the minor prophet to the major prophets. They would prophesy and the Messiah would come. God, in God's wisdom, had a plan. After the Garden of Eden had been closed, the gate had been closed because of the sin of the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. And they were chased from the Garden of Eden. So to speak, God went with them by his Holy Spirit. And then God began to bring a people together, to form a people through that process. The Holy Spirit of God never left humanity. God began to form a people. That's what the Old Testament narrative is about. It would have been about God would call Abraham out of Mesopotamia, Ur of the Chaldeans. They would call him and they would begin to do what there were paganistic religions and so on. But God would begin to carve out and to plan a monotheistic religion of one God. That's where we get Judaism. Judaism came before Christianity. Islam is really the last of the monotheistic religion. It's younger than Christianity, than Judaism, right? God would call out and begin to carve a people. But as human beings with free will and choice, people would sin and God would send judges. We know the story of the judges, and then they'd have several years of peace and they would sin against God. God would punish them. They'd cry out to God. God would punish them. And then God would relent and forgive them. And what would happen? I'm just giving you a quick summary of the Old Testament. They would do and the cycle continue. Right? So the judges did not work. Can I simplify the Old Testament to you? The cycle did not work of the judges. Then they would ask for a king. And God would give them a king, right? Starting with Saul. And starting with Saul. And Saul was not God's first choice. But he honored it. And he went through all the kings from Saul and then King David. And after David, the kingdom was one kingdom. It would become divided after Solomon, which would be David's son. And then they would have all the other kings, you know, Ahab and, you know, Jehoshaphat and all those kings. And, you know, all the many kings. That did not work. But throughout all of that, there were captivities and other groups would come in, and the Assyrians and so on would come. The Babylonians would come in and capture the people, and they were in captivity and they would be seeking God. Where's the hope? But Jeremiah and the other prophets would say, a Messiah will come to save you. A Messiah would come. Every Jewish young kid, boy or girl would hear, a Messiah would come to save you. There would be a Messiah coming, and they were waiting. And then at the end of Malachi, which is the last chapter as we know it in the canon, in our Bible, Malachi, the last prophet, then we believe from Malachi, there were 400 years of silence. The people no longer heard from God through the prophets, right? They were used to hearing from God, right? I'm sure there individually people were praying to God, but God did not speak for 400 years of silence through the prophets. And they were waiting. They were waiting and waiting for this Messiah to be born. When you understand the story leading up to this story, to this song, which means much more than a hymn, Zechariah's song, you will understand why. Because of the 400 years of silence. When you go through this passage, I want you to think about the plan and the pace, because it is fascinating that God unfolds in his plan the birth of Christ. That this was because of God's faithfulness to you and to me. To us. God was going to save God's people no matter what. And we were part of the plan. All of us who were going to be born. The history coming into the song was 400 years of silence, as I said. And we know the nation of Israel, which always had kings and priests and prophets, were now where they used to connect with God and experience 400 years of silence. And now here it is. Something would happen. But Jesus did not just born. God's plan no one could understand. Because here was a couple, right? Elizabeth and Zechariah, right? We know his prophecy. They were barren, right? They couldn't have children. And then he was older and they wanted children. And they were waiting and waiting and waiting for children. It's the whole idea of waiting for the unfolding of God's plan. Friends, we too have to wait for the unfolding of God's plan in our own lives. How many times have we planned something and it doesn't come through? Because God is in control. And God's plan will manifest itself according to God's will. No matter how we huff and puff. No matter what we do. And so here is the unfolding. Out of Elizabeth and Zechariah would come this child. Right? We know that story. The text doesn't talk about that fullest of the story. That the angel came to Zechariah and said, "You're going to have a baby." And he was like, "Not possible. You know, you're kidding me. I'm an old man." Remember, there is no advent of all the other medical help that we have now. Right? And even though some folks have said Mary's birth was the first artificial insemination, you know, people say, oh, there's a lot of stuff that we could say when preaching because it was a God moment. But let's get back to Zechariah. God, Jesus could just have shown up, but God did not do that. Friends, God would use a couple that had been waiting and waiting and waiting to bring forth. Who would he bring forth? First, who was the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth? John the Baptist. Oh, yes, good. Now my Bible-believing folks or Bible-reading folks are saying John the Baptist, right? So the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus are connected, right? And John the Baptist would come first. And we know what happened to Zechariah. He didn't believe, right? And what would happen? His mouth would be closed. He couldn't speak because he didn't believe the angel of the Lord. When God is coming to give you a miracle, you better believe it because it may not show up. He didn't believe and he closed his mouth. And you know that he did not speak until when? He said the baby's name, and to show you it was a miracle of God, there are folks who have been reading, very good. Because after Elizabeth got impregnated and so on, and the baby was born, what happened? They were asking, what should the baby name be? And they were coming up with several names, and she said, John, right? And they're waiting. They said, we've got to hear from the father. And he could not speak, but when he wrote it, he said the same thing, John the Baptist. And why would it be John the Baptizer? Because what? He would be preparing the way for the Lord. Because there was so much sinning and so on going on. John would come with one message of what? Repentance of sin. Right? So John came to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. The people did not know that Jesus would still be born from Mary. Because John the Baptist was born. But remember what would happen. And I don't want to get into the rest of the things that we're not up to yet. That Elizabeth is going to visit Mary, won't she? And there will be talking. And Mary would be pregnant. And the baby would move in her womb, wouldn't it? It's such a great story, it is. I can spend the whole day telling you the story. Because when you've read it so many times, you just love it. But the thing is, Zechariah is going to tell us why they were rejoicing. That is Zechariah's song. Now, some theologians have said that Zechariah is taking his song, or the writers said he took it from Mary, because Mary's going to have her song also later on, the Magnificat, right? She's going to be praising God through song. But so did Zechariah, right? I'm tying it in, right? When I'm going to let you all be Bible scholars here, right? And so after they had tried for many years, here is now the song. Now you remember that the people were under Roman control and it was bad for them. So they really wanted to be be taken out of captivity. They really wanted a Messiah. They wanted freedom. They were under hard punishment. So when this happened, when the waiting period was going to be broken and over, Zechariah realized that. So after his boy was born, we would read from Luke 1, 68 to 79. It says, he begins, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorable on his people and redeemed them." Right? He didn't know the end, but he knew that something was about to happen. Something marvelous had happened. Do you know when you could feel it in your spirit that God is about to do something marvelous in your life? Something different. He says, blessed, that was his song of thanksgiving. Right? Blessed be the Lord. And he goes on, here was the fulfillment of the promise. He says, he has raised up a mighty Savior. They hadn't seen the Savior yet. He had raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David. It's pointing to who? The Messiah. Right? As he spoke through the mouth of the holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. Now, how does that tie to us? What would be our enemy? Is God talking about battle we're in? No, the enemy of sin and death. Jesus would come to save us from the enemy of sin and death, not physical death, because we will all die, but eternal death. That because we who, as Paul said this morning in the Romans text, we who are united to Christ, we are united in his resurrection. We are going to rise again at the last day. We will if we believe. Right? So he would come to save us. This was the plan of God. This is why Jesus was born, to save us. To save us from sin. He will raise him up. And then he says in 72, thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant. The faithfulness of God. Isn't that something? That God is faithful. Do you believe God is faithful? He's faithful. And these scriptures remind us that he is. He says the oath that he swore to our ancestors, Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And then he says, and you child, John the Baptist, will come and you will prepare the way. So the fulfillment of God's plan was to send Jesus Christ into the world to save us. It would begin with John the Baptist's birth. It would culminate with the birth of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, coming for one purpose only, to save you and me from eternal damnation. Now, I truly believe that, right? I am not saying this because I think it's lovely in the Bible. I believe that. I believe that when we leave this place believing in Christ, we have a hope in heaven of eternal life. And I'll share something quickly as I was thinking about this, the hope of Jesus born to save us. That's why we have to rejoice today and we have to give him thanks. He says, and you child will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus would come so that we could go to Jesus, ask for forgiveness, accept him as our Lord and Savior, and have the hope of eternal life with him. And so, here it is. He says, by the tender mercies of our God, the dawn from an eye will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's why today is Christ the King Sunday. We remember that the King did come. Right? And we are getting ready to start remembering him again during the month of December through the season of Advent. And I want to tell you how God's faithfulness can give you hope. Because we see what God has done through the words of the Bible. But we have got to hold on to that hope for ourselves, don't we? And so on Saturday, and this is not sad, I'm just sharing with you, it was a big funeral on Friday and Saturday, big thing on where their cousins were from England and Florida and Canada and all over, because we're all over. There's a lot of, there are 14 brothers and sisters. Two are left now, two sisters. But, and they're older, 90 and 88 or something. But anyhow, they are my father's sister, because my grandfather was married twice. As I close, my grandmother died. My father's mother died in childbirth after five kids, long time ago. You know, my father was the last of that. Then he remarried. But we're all, you know, aunts and uncles. You wouldn't believe the difference. But anyway, as I was yesterday, we were at the, it is the hope of the scripture. And I am preaching to my family members, giving them hope of the Lord, and the grandchildren are crying, her grandchildren, and you know, children, their hearts are breaking, they love their grandparents. But as I was at the cemetery, and we have the casket there, it's a good story. We have the casket there, and I am going to do the final piece. That moment, you know, when you have it, and we do the kind of, put the ash, you know, the earth, and says, earth. For that brief moment, I thought of my dad. Just like that, he had been dead 20 years. Was 70 something when he died. He would have been 100 and something. I just remembered him like that. My aunt is called Mina. Her name is Leah, but we call her Aunt Mina. And I said to her, and everybody just started. I said to Aunt Mina, as I would touch, I says, when you see my dad and my mom, say hi to them. And that just break the. It just came out. I didn't plan it. It wasn't on a piece of paper. I was standing there and I was laying my hand on it. And all of a sudden it came into my spirit because some people were sniffling. And at night the Lord wanted a hope. And I says, when you see my mom and dad and the rest of the family, say hi to them. Why do I believe that? It's because of the faithfulness of God. The hope of salvation. And that changed the mood. Folks start hugging each other and people are still crying, but they were holding on. I said, that's what it means. And I said to all of them there, if you don't know Christ, you can't have that hope. It's a hope that there is eternal life. And do I believe that? I think Aunt Mina has already been chatting to my dad and the rest of the folks. Because there are Christian believers who died in Christ. Do you see? It is the hope that I bring to people when I see them. Because it's the hope in Christ that I believe in, friends. I believe in nothing else. Well, you know, I'm on Facebook Live, online. And I do get letters from, I get texts from people, we call it, they write to comments. Because I boost the ad. And sometimes I will boost it worldwide, and sometimes I boost it in certain countries. And trust me. So the other day I was teaching on, being saved, the Nicodemus story, right? And I was teaching on that, and I was saying emphatically, you must believe, you know, in Jesus Christ, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you know, you must believe. And Nicodemus was brilliant, and he says, you mean I've got to go back into my mother's womb? You know that you have to be born of water and spirit. I'm not going to preach that now. But the key is, at the top of my Facebook, I wrote, Jesus, the way of salvation. So then, after I had gotten off and so on, you know, you name your thing, I always write a scripture. The Spirit, I change it, and I wrote, Jesus, the only way of salvation. So I get this comment from some man up in Bahrain or Saudi Arabia, where, and he says, do you mean, he writes, and he says, don't Christians die? Right, it was a Muslim, don't Christians die? Because the whole thing was about being saved and having eternal life. Oftentimes, I don't respond. I will either ban the user or just delete the comment. I don't have any energy for back and forth. But this time, I wrote, this time I said, I wrote back, I said, yes, Christian, do die. And we will die. But I said, here's the hope. Here's the hope for us that when we die, believing in Christ, we live forever. I said, because we join him in eternity. And then I gave him a scripture. I said that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father unless through me. And then I wrote the other piece, I said, and Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled, do not be afraid. In your Father's house there are many mansions, and I've gone to prepare a place for you. I said, so you could believe in Jesus or you don't believe, and that's your choice. But we who are Christian, we believe in him, and we have the hope of eternal life. Amen. And then I banned him. Didn't want any response. I just wanted him to get my comment. Banned the user because I'm done. Because my hope is the faithfulness of God for us. Is that Jesus was born to save us through the forgiveness of sin here on earth, and then save us from eternal damnation and give us eternal life. Amen and amen. He probably did ban me. I don't care. Hallelujah. And so we know that Jesus, his faithfulness to us, God's faithfulness to us, will send his son, and the supremacy of Christ stands forever and ever, because Paul told the church he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. So for us who are believers, the chasm has been closed. The divide has been closed. That happened in the beginning. And Jesus is the fullness of God. And through him, we have the hope of eternal life. And that's the reason he was born. To give you and me the hope of eternal life. So in humility and thanksgiving, we give God thanks. Amen.